Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We thank you for today. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we choose to rejoice in it, Lord. Because your mercies are new today, Lord. It's by your mercy, and mercy alone. We all are standing here, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You said sufficient unto that day are the evils thereof. Therefore, we will not think about tomorrow. We will not worry about tomorrow. We will believe that we, by faith, receive the daily bread for us today. All that everyone will face, I pray they will believe. Your provision is enough. Your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. Pray for all those who are not well, Father. Speak healing into their bodies, Father. Touch. Touch Maggie, Lord. Touch her. Breathe upon her, Lord. Touch her. Heal her, Father. Touch everyone else, Lord. We believe in divine healing. We believe in divine protection. We believe in divine provision. Because our God is divine. Our Father is divine. We believe, Lord, yet therefore we confess. We come at this time, as we study the book of Revelation, I pray each one of us continuously will prepare for the coming of the Lord. We commit everyone into thy hands, O Lord. We praise you, we worship you, we glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are in Revelation today to Revelation 10. Verses 1 to 4. Yeah, we finished 9 last week. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow one was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. So we'll look first at the first four verses. So we've seen the order of the judgments. You have seven seals, you have seven trumpets, and you have the seven bowls. We haven't reached the seven bowls yet. In chapter 6, we see the first seal being opened, and we see the horsemen proceeding. It's when the seventh seal is opened, that is in chapter 8, we have the seven trumpet judgments. Okay, so the seven trumpet judgments are part of the seventh seal, and the seven bowl judgments we will see in chapter 16. Okay. So between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, we will see what we say interlude, or in movies, you always used to have what is called intermission. Okay, and that's when all the men used to run out to smoke. The huffing and puffing for 15 minutes. Okay, so there is an interlude between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. That is in chapter 7, where we see two scenes, one on earth, where the 144,000 are sealed, and in heaven we see another scene where the multitude that comes through the tribulation. From chapter 10 to 11, 14, introduces another intermission or digression between the sixth angel and the seventh trumpet. Okay, because here we are introduced to a different angel. Okay, because at chapter 11 and verse 14, you will see the seventh trumpet being blown, and we see the kingdoms of this world becoming, or the proclamation is becoming the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So between 10 to 11:40, there is an intermission. We are not going into the trumpet, but something else is happening. That's why to study the book of Revelation is not an easy book. But, okay, so we are introduced here in chapter 10 and chapter 11. We are introduced to a mighty angel and to the two witnesses, okay? These are two sets of forerunners, two on earth, the two human beings, and one in heaven, one angelic, the other human. They are heralds signifying the coming of the king and the kingdom. Like John the Baptist was the human herald to the coming of Jesus on earth. So this is because at the middle of chapter 11, we will see the proclamation about the kingdom reaching out. Now about this angel, if you go to verse 1, about this angel, there is a controversy among theologians. Who is this angel? Okay, one group says this is Jesus Christ. Another group says it is not Jesus Christ. So let us look at the group that says Jesus Christ. It's got to do with the description. Okay. Because I saw another mighty angel coming down from earth, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun and his feet like pillars of fire. That description is what causes the confusion. Remember, we have what is called theophany. Theophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of basically Christ. Okay, theophany of God, and Christophany is of Christ. Epiphany is when he comes in flesh. Okay, so these are terms you will hear during this season. Okay, so we need to understand what it is. Okay, so whenever Jesus appears in the Old Testament, okay, Old Testament, the question, the thing is that he appears as the angel of the Lord. We need to understand. And I had a very interesting question this morning, early in the morning when I was up and I was working. I had a question that came in asking, why does it ever say in the Bible that God loves the angels? Okay. Okay. Somebody asked me a question. Okay. Why doesn't it say he only loves man? It talks about how much he loves man. Why doesn't it say that he loves angels? One reason, of course, is the communication in the Bible is a revelation of God's dealings with man. But the answer I got and I gave was this. God's love towards angels and God's love towards man is expressed differently. Two-thirds of the angels never fell. So they will always declare the glory, the power, the might, the holiness of God. To us who fell, we express the mercies of God. So therefore, the love of God is always expressed in mercy, kindness, compassion, long-suffering, waiting. He doesn't express that way with the angels. Because they don't need mercy. They don't need long-suffering. They don't need compassion. They don't need any of those things. So how he expresses his love to them is completely different from us. But he loves them. Okay, God is love, so he cannot stop loving anybody. He loves them. So again, you need to understand God is spirit. When you say God is spirit, he doesn't have a form. Okay, when he created angels, because angels were created and they are spirit, but they were given a form. Because they are created spirit beings. God is not a created spirit beings. So this is the issue. So whenever God takes a form in the old covenant, he takes the form of an angel. Okay, he takes the form of an angel. But that angel, when it steps down onto the earth, takes the form of a human being. Okay, but he's called the angel. Because he's trying to communicate to us. So God doesn't have a form. So when he communicate to us, he has to communicate either as angel or as man. These are the created being. But before Christ appears, he's called the angel. Okay. And remember, in the wilderness wanderings of Israel, God was with them in the form of a cloud. That is where the confusion with the cloud comes. Okay, confusion with the cloud comes. And then When you go to the introduction of God's throne room in chapter 4, you see the huge rainbow around his throne. And then you go to chapter 1 and the introduction of Jesus, his face is shining like a blazing sun and his feet are like bronze. Okay? So, when people look at it, and this is, it has to be Christ. This has to be Christ. This is where the confusion comes. Who is the angel in chapter 10? So a lot of theologians come with that, that say, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. Okay. And then if you look at verse 2, he has one foot on the sea and the other left foot on the land. Talks about his absolute authority over the earth. Okay. Ownership of the earth. Then you come to verse 2. Verse 3, he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And we also know he was identified as the lamb that was slain, but the lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay. So this is where these three verses, the description of this angel causes confusion. Is it not Christ Jesus? But if you study closely the book of the New Covenant, the argument that this angel is not Jesus is actually much stronger. Especially because in the New Covenant, Jesus never appears as an angel. And in the book of Revelation, he never appears as an angel. Because after the incarnation, Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of Man. Okay, he never appears as an angel. This angel possesses some God-like characteristics, but he is not Jesus. Okay. The issue is in chapter 1 is with his description. The glory, chapter 10, verse 1. But if you go to chapter 18 and verse 1, another angel is described. He is also very glorious. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven having great authority. And this angel, when he comes, the earth was illuminated with his glory. Okay. So we need to understand angels, not all angels. Some angels are of a different hierarchy altogether and they have unbelievable glory. But to confuse the one in chapter 10, verse 1, is that it is Jesus Christ. It's not possible because Jesus post-incarnation never appears as an angel. You will see. Even to Apostle Paul and all, when he asks, who are you? He says, Jesus of Nazareth. He doesn't appear as an angel. Okay. What is description? I never get this. Could indicate is that he has come straight from God's presence. Okay. Therefore, and also remember, clouds are represents the chariots that accompany God if you read the Psalms. So he's basically coming right from the presence of God. So remember, when Moses came from the presence of God, the glory of God was upon him, so that the people asked him to cover his face. Okay, so when he's coming right from the presence of God, he's carrying that glory, because he's coming and telling about the imminent appearance of the kingdom of God is so close. The rainbow is only a reminder. The rainbow is a reminder of God's covenant, that he is a God who keeps his word, that from the day he made this covenant with Noah, and he will never destroy the world with water again. Okay, water again. So it's a reminder of God's covenant. And his feet is only telling us he's coming to execute the final judgments of God, because we are now at the seventh trumpet. The seven bowls will be opened and after that it's over. So we are coming to the final culmination of God's judgments on earth. He is probably one among those described in Colossians 1:16. Okay, there is a different hierarchy mentioned in Colossians 1:16. For by him, remember Christ, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities. See, when it comes to powers of darkness, we are called, we are fighting against principalities. It begins with principalities. But above them, there are two categories. There are thrones and dominions. Okay, thrones and dominions. And Satan probably was one of those categories of thrones. And then he creates his kingdom in that category with principalities under him. Okay, and gives them different areas to dominate down to the lower level, because he replicates God's system. So you will see the Trinity, he will replicate the Trinity. You see the four angels that are holding back the winds. You will see the four angels who are locked up under River Euphrates. So he replicates it all because he is trying to dominate. He's also trying to dominate, control through the minds of people. Okay. But the difference here is, so he could be, this angel could be one of those thrones of dominions, because we do not know how the heavenly, when we reach over there, we will realize that it is different. But please remember, there are different kinds of angels, and man was created a little lower than angels for a season. And later, man will be above most angels, the overcomers, not all men, okay, the overcomers. That is why this constant, this thing about the three phases of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has a place, the kingdom of God has authority and power, and the kingdom of God has inheritance. And to inherit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God finally as a child. You cannot. Because children do not inherit. So this has got nothing to do with physical age. It's got to do with spiritual age. So you have to enter at least as a young man or as a father. Okay. If you enter as a father, pakka guaranteed you have a dominion. Okay. So that's how God is working it out. And ultimately remember, we are going to be on earth. Okay. When we die, we go to heaven for a season. But ultimately our destination is earth. Okay, because that's the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is where we are coming back up. So it's a beautiful picture, like where you have this new earth, absolutely, where there is no seas. Okay, can you shut that door? Or is it? Yeah, it's shut. Okay, new earth, no seas. So you can imagine how huge that earth is, how massive that earth is. And hovering above the earth is the capital city. New Jerusalem is more like it, because it is not going to be like our three-dimensional world. Our world is going to be different, because we do not move anymore in vehicles. Okay, we'll be able to move like not even with wings. Jesus did not even have wings. Angels may have wings. We don't even need wings. Okay, we'll be able to. So you can think about a different dimension altogether, in where New Jerusalem seems to be the capital, and the earth is full, and there are kings on earth, and all those who are allowed to enter into that city, that's where the 12 gates are there. Everybody is not allowed to enter into that city. But we will be on earth. And the kings will be ruling over the earth. So this is to which, and this is not a figment of imagination. Okay, this is the reality. And that's where we are coming to the culmination before these things will be introduced. And the difference we say, see, is there in verse 3, 10:3. Yeah. Okay. Go to 2. Yeah. In his hand, he had a little book open in his hand. While in chapter 5, Jesus takes from the Father the scroll which was written on both sides, which was sealed with 7 seals. So you see the difference. There it is, a scroll, and he was the only one worthy. But here he has a little book which is an open book. So it is not the same book either. So if we study carefully, we will realize it is not the same. But what he is doing, he is exercising Christ's authority over the earth like Jesus exercises the Father's authority on earth. In heaven and earth. He just exercises it, because everybody except God has only delegated authority. All authority is with the Father. And right now the Father has given it all to the Son until every enemy is brought under his feet. So that is the description. So you will see he sets his right foot on the sea and the left foot on the land. Now if you look at, he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, 700s uttered their voices. Okay, uttered their voices. If you read Psalm 29, you have the, it's a whole psalm. So if you want to read it, we can read it. We see the seven voices of God in Psalm 29. When God, okay, it's of course, it's relegated to humanity alone. But the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Babylon, Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood and the Lord sits as king forever. Okay, so you will see the seven voices of the Lord, okay, and the where we go back, that's why scripture, as far as possible, we try to use scripture to interpret scripture and not try to go. We use men of God who have studied scripture, but we do not try to use secular scriptures, secular literature, unless it is to explain the meaning of a word. Okay, like you have some words which have been directly taken from Greek without being translated into English, and one of those words is baptism. Baptism, okay. But if you go to secular literature in Greek, every time the word baptizo is used, it is always immersion. Okay, it's never sprinkling. So to understand the meaning of a word, we can go, like now, we say, you know, when we use the word meat in KJV, it meant food, not necessarily flesh. But today, we don't say meat for food, we say food, and we for flesh, we say meat. So that's fine. But we do not use as far as possible, because that's when confusion comes. Okay. But what happens is, when he cried out, 700s uttered their voices, meaning they spoke. And in verse 4, what happens is when he's about to write, okay, when the 700s uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the 700s uttered and do not write them. Okay, because we know when he began this book, he was told that he should write everything that you see and hear. That's how the book begins. Write down everything that you see and hear. But here he's told, this part that you hear, don't write it down. Okay? We don't know what it is. We don't have to presume, but if we presume, whatever it is worse than what is written. Okay? So, don't write it down. Okay? But we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, Apostle Paul too had an experience. 12 and verse 4, not 13, 4. Okay. Now, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. So he also heard things much before John, but he was told, don't speak it out. Okay. That is God's prerogative as God. You may hear something. Paul heard, John heard, but he said it was not to be communicated to the rest of the others. Certain secrets, as the book of Numbers says, belong to God and God alone. If he chooses it to reveal to a servant of it, he could also give it with the writer, that this is for your personal knowledge and not to be shared with others. Okay, so we have to be careful, because sometimes in our closet we hear things from God which is only meant for us and not to be shared. Okay, have to distinguish the difference. When you come to verse 5 of chapter 10, okay, chapter 10, Revelation 10:5, The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven. And swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, and there should be delay no longer. Okay. So you will see, yeah, we'll just look at 5 and 6. Okay. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land. Okay. In the book of Revelation, the sea is always spoken separately from the earth. If you study scripture closely, you realize in Genesis 1:1, the sea was not created in the beginning. It came later. And the sea has something to do with judgment and demons. Okay? I don't like the sea. I like water. I don't like the sea. I don't like the, hate the sea. I dislike the sea, and I'm very happy in the new creation there is no sea. Because only our Brother David gets his salary because of the sea, because Musk operates on the sea. Okay. But, okay, there will be no more seas. Okay, there's something about the sea. But also remember, sea in the book of Revelation is also a symbol for humanity, for people. And what happens is here, it's a very important part in Revelation 5 and 6, which people do not understand. This angel stands over there, he raises up his hand to heaven and he swears. Okay, he swears. By him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth, the things are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, and there should be delay no longer. This is one verse in the entire Bible. And people do not realize it is from this verse in the Judeo-Christian culture, which was brought into the courtroom, that you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. It comes from this, and the entire world has appropriated it. Every religion. That when you go to the courtroom, you have to swear. Do you know? It comes from this verse. This is what set the precedent. This is what set the precedent. The power of God's word. People do not even realize, okay, how it changes the whole world. That anywhere in the world, when you go to a courtroom, okay, you have to swear. And when you swear, this is how you swear. And this is where it is sworn. Okay, this is where it is sworn. So we need to understand. And that is the culture the enemy is trying to erase by changing the laws. You can change the laws, but you cannot change truth. Okay, you can change the law, but you cannot change the truth. And then, in 6, there is this verse, there should be delay no longer. KJV will use the term, there is time no more. Okay? Basically, it means delay. Or, time as we see today is over. Abigail, if time is rolled up, you will be forever 13. Because there is no year coming after this. Understood? Because there will be no more time to measure. Okay, that's basically what it means. There is no more time. There is no more delay. Because what is coming, the eternal dispensation, which is called eternity, is coming. Whether it is, there is no time, there is no night, it's for our day. Okay, it's for our day. While in another place where those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is for our night. There is fire, but it is darkness. Forever night on one side, and one side forever day. So it's talking about there shall be delay no longer. You will see these references. We'll give you two references. Hebrews 10:37 talks about it. It's getting closer. 10:37. For a little while, yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Okay, he's coming. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3, okay, we are told this man of perdition will be soon revealed. Okay, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, and the son of perdition. All is connected, it's coming. Once he's revealed, it's over. Okay, we know then we have very little time. If you come to Revelation 12 and verse 12, that is when this will happen. Okay, now rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has short time. No, he knows immediately how much time he has left. He knows 7 years. It's over. It's finished. Okay, he knows. He can measure his life on human time. Okay, he knows. And everybody knows 7 years. It's over. Okay, so that's what it's talking about. There is very little time. And go to the next verse, verse 7. Yeah, 10, 7. Okay, very short time. And then, in the day, remember, not in the day, okay, in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, because we will always try to confuse, because we know how much breath we can hold. Whether it's a trumpet, a flute, a shofar, we will blow and we run out of breath. But the angels don't have any problem. They can keep on blowing for days and days and days, and it's a spiritual thing, okay? So we have to read carefully. In the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Okay, so the mystery of God is going to be finished when he is about to sound, because we will see what happens when he sounds. Okay, so when he sounds, look at Revelation chapter 11, okay, and verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was the loud voices in heaven. There were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is what happens. It's not one blast and suddenly happens. It is a progression of events, okay? So what happens? The mystery of God is complete. So if you go to the New Testament in order, if you go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 11, Mark 4, verse 11. He said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. The first mystery is the total mystery. The first mystery is the mystery of the kingdom of God. When it will be complete, we're just trying to understand this kingdom. Like we cannot even understand our own state. We can try to understand the whole world, how God's creation, the kingdom of God encompasses it all. So, the mystery of the kingdom of God, okay, the capacity to understand them, he says, is given to only those who are inside and to the disciples, okay. To others, it all comes as parables. So, there is this mystery of the kingdom of God. Okay, but the mystery of God will be complete when that seventh angel is about to sound. So this is the first and the main mystery. If you go to Romans 11 and verse 25, the other mystery. I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles has come, which is a real mystery. I mean, anyone sitting over here is able to read the Bible and find Jesus, and the Jew is not able to find. Yet they were the original invitees to the kingdom. He came to his own. Okay? And how, like, you go to the village, anywhere you are, they just get in just like that. And it's a mystery how they are not able to see it. How they are not able to see it. Okay? It's a mystery. And it's a mystery. And it's God's mystery. Okay? It's God's mystery. That why the Jews are not able to see. In Romans 16:25, in Ephesians 6:19, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. The gospel was kept a secret from the beginning. Why does God keep secrets? And we also keep secrets. The reason is all the people who hear are not thrilled by these secrets. Okay, so God is. Okay, if he tells Abraham and the Jews in the beginning, Gentiles will come in, they are not interested anymore. Okay? They're not interested in your head. Okay? Because, so he keeps it all secret. He says so many things you are not ready to know because you have not come to that maturity of love. Not knowledge. Knowledge is one thing. That's not difficult to reach. The maturity of love is difficult, where you are not jealous, where you are not angry, where you are not upset, where you are able to rejoice and to see that a Gentile brother also came in, a scheduled caste came in, and you treat them all equal. That people haven't reached. So God keeps everything a secret. Okay, he keeps it a secret. He says it's not that he cannot reveal it to you. Okay, because you know, until we are out of this dispensation, there is this enemy called jealousy around. And jealousy is a monster. And Shakespeare called it the green-eyed monster. Okay, even Jesus was betrayed because of envy. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers because of envy. And I think Cain killed Abel because of envy. Okay, all envy. So it's a very dangerous thing. Okay, very dangerous thing. And I think that is also where it started in heaven. That Lucifer's issue was not with God. I think Lucifer's issue was with Jesus Christ. Why should he have such an exalted position? Why not me? But he didn't realize God created him through Christ. It was an issue of jealousy. So he's always competing with Christ. Okay, with Christ. So Christ is the light. He is the light bearer. Everything he's trying to pretend to be like. You know? And people fall for it. Okay, so, and it is jealousy. Okay, so jealousy, you know, pride, these are all like conjoined twins. Okay, so understand, this is the mystery of the gospel. The gospel is very, very mysterious. Okay, in Ephesians 6:19 also, it talks about it. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, if I am right, and 8 also, 7 and 8, okay, yeah, 7 and 8. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. What is that? Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay, the cross was a mystery. Cross was a mystery. Okay, so if they had known what the cross would do, Satan would have been the first one to say, leave him alone. Leave him alone, don't kill him. Okay? The mystery of the cross. Okay, this is the wisdom of God. Okay? The wisdom of God. I mean, we need to understand why we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation when it comes to the study of the word of God. Because you can be the smartest man on earth, but if God doesn't open your eyes, you will not see what God doesn't want you to see. It's as simple as that. Because this book was not written by man. It was written through man. It was written by God through man. So all this academic exercise, which is good, it has its own use. But ultimately, Paul's prayer is that, this is that I pray that you give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because if God doesn't open our eyes, we will not see. And again, when will God open our eyes is also up to him. He will wait for a time before we can see. Because he knows our growth. He will not reveal things. So we may wonder, how come I read this always and never saw it? Because we were not ready to see it. So God is waiting for us to grow so that he can reveal things. And we know in natural life also things are the same. We understand things better. But this is not even understanding. This is revelation. So the mystery of the cross. When you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Okay, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is called the mystery of translation. In a twinkling of a eye, okay, everybody, those who went ahead of us and those who are left, everybody will be translated at the same time. It will not be in stages. Everybody gets their new body. This is the mystery of rapture. It's not the mystery of rapture, because the mystery of rapture is people being caught up. No, the mystery of translation, where we get your new body, because then looking at your body itself, you will know your level of glory, a level of Christ in you, which is our hope of glory. So this is the mystery of translation. In Ephesians 1:9, Okay, Ephesians 1:9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. Okay, his will is a mystery. Which is true. It is, unless we understand, try to figure out or accept the mystery of his will. Because the reason I will tell you is this. Let us say there is a pastor in a small village in Telangana. He's been given one talent. He's been given 15 sheep in his entire ministry allotted by God. He mentors them and brings them into the kingdom of God and enters into eternity. There is another pastor who has been given 20,000 people. He's got a worldwide ministry. He's got all gifts operating. He's asked to bring so many people in. He also brings in. But the reward for both is exactly the same. This is the mystery of his will. People don't understand. Because people try to pursue according to the world. Because in the world, the first man gets nothing. Everyone goes to the second one. That is why we have to pursue his will and never compete with one another. Because if you compete, you lose. This is what I have to drill into the pastors, because everybody is looking at somebody else and trying to imitate. I said, you can imitate his faith. You can maybe use his sermons to learn, but you cannot imitate his ministry, because every ministry in the will of God is mysterious. That is what John will come and say, a man cannot receive anything other than what is, except what is given to him. Okay. Therefore, it doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard, we shouldn't excel and all. But his will is a mystery. His will is a mystery. He doesn't have the same will for two people. He has a common will for everyone. After that, it is all completely different. Sammy's glory is also shining from there. Okay, so the mystery of his will. Okay, if you come to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4 and then verse 9. 3 and 4. Now that by a revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written, okay, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 9, and to make you all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. This is the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is one. God in Christ is making one new man. Everybody is put into one man. He's making into, like Adam, everybody came, he fell, everybody fell, he stood, and everybody in Christ is being made into one man. The second thing is, through Christ, everything is being reconciled. All creation is being reconciled. Everything that fell away, that's why the trees and the bird, everything is waiting for us. Because until man is reconciled, the subjects cannot be reconciled, because earth was given to man. So when the ruler fell, the subjects fell. Now when the ruler is restored, only they can be restored. So the Bible says, all of creation is groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. This is the mystery of Christ. And how is God doing it? Because we only see Jesus on the cross. See, the cross is just one milestone in God's process. So we don't stop over there. This is the kingdom of God. That is a big milestone. But that is, a lot of people stop there. And they don't go further. See, it goes all the way into eternity, which we don't even understand. From Revelation 21 onwards, what is going to happen? Where we gave you last evening, yesterday morning, a small this thing about how dominion is restored back. Okay, restored back. And one of the facets of dominion is, we are not going to eat meat anymore. Animals won't be wild. I mean, if you know Pastor Sharon, I think it was in her mother or grandmother's house when she was small, they killed her pet lamb and ate it. And from that day, she doesn't eat lamb. Because that was a pet lamb. Because you love it. Okay. Now, if you loved your pet, you wouldn't want it to be slaughtered. You didn't want to be slaughtered, okay? So you need to realize we are coming into a millennial kingdom where we will only have pets. And we will be having probably communicate with them. And they will be all docile and loving, because restoration has come in. So that is why everybody will be eating, or all of them will be eating grass. Okay, all of them will be eating grass. Okay, so all this fear of man has gone. Man's fear for them all has gone. So all these things is part of that mystery. It's all done in Christ. Reconciliation. So they are also waiting for it. Then if you come to Ephesians 5 and verse 37. Okay. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What is this, the mystery of marriage? Marriage is still a mystery. For people who have been married for 50 years also, it's still a mystery. Because you cannot understand, it's got nothing to do with humanity. It's got to do with Christ. That's why it's a mystery. And it's a mystery when you see finally people, a couple walking where they are one, we'll say, how did it happen? It's a mystery. Because you look at the man and you look at the woman, they come from absolutely two different backgrounds. How did they become one? It's a mystery. Okay? So marriage is a mystery. And we need to understand the mystery of the marriage and try to unravel the mystery. Not keep it mysterious. Because a marriage is a mystery. Okay, so there is on earth, because it's talking about Christ and the church. Okay, the Christ and the church. You will see that in so many other places. Okay, now if you come to 1 Timothy 3:9. Holding on to the mystery of faith is a mystery. Okay, but now we understand why faith? For centuries, from the time of Abel onwards, people did not understand, why is God asking us to live by faith? Believe him without seeing. Obey him without seeing. Why? From an invisible realm this comes. And we have to believe. The reason is, faith is a mystery. But it's a beautiful mystery. Because those, like I said, the question I had in the morning, why is it never written in the Bible, God loves the angels? Because the way he loves them is different from the way he loves us. Because they can see him. So they don't talk about long suffering and mercy and compassion and kindness and all. Because that's not the realm in their love. Because they love by sight. They have never fallen. Because we have fallen. God's love towards us. We will sing of his mercies forever. You don't see any angel singing that. It's a concept that is foreign to them. They see God being merciful to us and they say, why is he so merciful? Okay. So this, and why is he merciful? Because we are living by faith. If we had lived by sight, there would have been no mercy. So faith is a mystery. The mystery of faith. Okay. This faith breaks through realms. Angels cannot understand faith. We don't understand faith. This is the mystery of faith. Okay, and God says, holding on to the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. And then when you come to 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Mystery of godliness. And what is the mystery of godliness? God was manifested in flesh. We are not talking about the normal kind of godliness. Because as far as man has known, he has only known the fallen man. So how can godliness be manifested in flesh? Because when it comes to the flesh, we only know for falling. The mystery of godliness, God was manifested in the flesh. So remember 1 Timothy 3:16. Keep that in your mind. The reason is, when people come and tell you, Jehovah's Witnesses or Muslims come and tell you, nowhere in the Bible does it say Christ is God. Mm-hmm. Tell them 1 Timothy 3:16 says God was manifested in the flesh. Okay? He is God with a capital G. Okay? God was manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen by angels. Priest among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. This is talking about Jesus' life. The mystery of godliness. Okay, how could God become man? Fun. Two, when he becomes man, how could he remain godly till the very end? How is it possible? The mystery of godliness. We still don't figure it out, okay? In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. Okay? 2:7. The mystery of lawlessness or iniquity. Who is this? This is the mystery of Satan. How can you be so lawless? How can you be so lawless? Okay. You give him anything good, he's able to corrupt it. Anything. That's a mystery of lawlessness. Okay. That's another mystery. Then you come to the 11th mystery. This is the 11th mystery. And then the 12 mysteries in the Bible. The 12th one is Revelation 17 and verse 5. Revelation 17, 5. Okay. Verse 5. It's called, written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, of the abominations of the earth. That is the Illuminati. Some dumbos might be listening now, okay? You are also a mystery. How can you be so evil and wicked? The mystery Babylon. Okay? So there are 12 mysteries in the New Covenant. But all these mysteries together is called the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God rules over it all. And when the seventh trumpet is blown, the mystery of God will end as it was revealed to the prophets from the beginning. What is it? The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord, and the mystery will be complete. So remember, the first mystery is the kingdom of God. And what happens when that happens? Revelation 11, 15. What happens? Okay. The seventh angel sounded. There were loud voices in the heavens saying, the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Please understand this. From the beginning when God created the earth till today, God has never personally ruled the earth. Never. He has never ruled the earth personally. This is the time when God's rule comes down to earth personally. The answer of saints' cry for thousands of years, thy kingdom come, that prayer will be answered. And his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? This is when God in Christ will step down and begin his reign. Then 1,000 years later, the Father himself, Jesus, would have brought all his enemies, finished them all off, everybody is off, now only God's children is left, and he will hand over the reins of the kingdom to the Father. He himself will be subject to the Father, and God will reign forever and ever and ever. That's what the kingdom is. So till then we keep praying, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. We didn't reach there, we are still with the first two words, O our Father, thy kingdom come. Come, let's have Peter.
With the beauty of the Lord, sing all heavens, declare declare the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare, oh no, Lord, with the beauty of the Lord? Forever you will be, forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow my knee, oh Lord, and to worship you.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for this new day. Thank you for adding time, Lord. Time. Because the time is coming when there will be no more time to change, to make the decision, Lord. We thank you, Father. Only when we study your word, when we realize a time is coming when there is no more time. Judgment has finally been set. God's mercy has run its course. God who has delayed and delayed and delayed because he does not want anyone to perish but to come to repentance and to the knowledge of Christ. Oh Father, I pray, thank you for another day. I pray, Lord, even today, somebody, somewhere will repent and turn to Christ, oh Father. Oh Father, somebody, Lord, will fall on their knees and say, I believe, I turn my life from darkness to light, from the power of the enemy to the power of Christ. Call upon your name, O Lord, for only you can save. Only your arm has the power to save us, O Lord. O Father, save, Lord. Save, save your people. Deliver those who are saved, Lord, who are still struggling, Father, with unbelief and doubt and fear and anxiety and worry. Deliver them, Lord. Deliver them. Oh, Father, deliver them. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We stand in need of you, Lord. You are our provision, Lord. You are our provision. This morning we stand as individuals, as families, as churches, as all around the world, we stand in need of you, Lord Jesus. Touch us afresh this morning. Anoint each one afresh this morning, Lord. Everyone, Lord. Everyone. Touch us, Lord. Open our eyes, O Lord, that we might see what is and what is coming. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Touch, Lord, touch. Jesus, touch.
Touch everyone of us this
morning. Everyone, Lord, touch.
Touch us, touch us. We need touch from you this morning.
Jesus.
We need touch from you.
Those who are sick, they need a touch in the body. Yes. Those who are struggling,
yes,
with fear, touch, with worry, with anger, they need a touch in their soul, Father. Yes. One touch. Your virtue is able to deliver us. Because when you touch, what flows is your virtue.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Touch, Lord. Touch Jesus this morning.
Jesus. Jesus.
Touch us.
Jesus.
Strengthen us.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Because the battle is not for the feeble. Strengthen us, O Lord. Teach us to stand, but stand only in the might and the power of God. We are not fighting flesh and blood.
No, we're not, Lord.
We are fighting principalities.
Yes. Oh, Father.
And the days that are coming, even more of them will be released. A demonic host that no one can count are going to be released.
Jesus.
Angels that have been chained under Euphrates for years and millions of years, yes, probably we do not know, are going to be released. So the battle is not for the faint hearted.
No, it's not.
We need your power.
Yes.
We need your strength.
Yes.
We truly confess without you, we can
do
really
nothing.
Do nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. But we don't want to stop there. We also want to confess through Christ. We can do all things, O Lord. Through Christ. And Christ alone, O Father. Christ alone, O Father. And I pray, Father, let it ring in every ear, Father, today.
We speak blessings over God's people.
Yes, Lord.
We are blessed, yes, to be a blessing. Thank you,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We declare your kingdom of God, Lord. Your kingdom is here. We declare your kingdom. It's the kingdom of power and might,
yes,
of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So again, we stand here in your house and we declare, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.